You are Locked On Colts, your daily Indianapolis Colts podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into your first edition of our live reaction podcast. It's going to be coming to you every Sunday here on Locked On Colts. The week one regular season match for the Indianapolis Colts against the Seattle Seahawks started off well. They were up 3-0 after a long drive down the field. Took about 10 minutes off the clock. Dominant showing from the offensive line. Carson Wentz looked in control, as he did throughout the game. The running game was going as well. And then after that possession, the Seahawks flipped the script on the Colts. And it was quite frankly an embarrassing showing from the Colts after that possession. They lost this game 28-16, outscored 28-13 over the last three quarters of this game. Steven, how are you doing today? This is Steven Reed of Stampede Blue, who will be joining us for these episodes every Sunday after these games. But, man, that was a good start for this game for the Colts in week one. And then all of a sudden, it just everything went to crap afterwards.
Yeah, it was – I mean, it was tough. Like you said, that first drive was really promising. You know, it's sad that they only came up with 3 points. I was surprised that Frank Reich didn't go for it there, just with how aggressive he's been in the past, that he went ahead and took the points early. And then – after that, the defense, it just felt like they were asleep for the first half because, like, they scored, 21 points in the first half. And that was the problem last year with the defense. And that's the problem 2 years ago with the defense. It's they don't play well in the first half and get behind. And then the quarterbacks are able to come in and keep them in the game. And they show up in the second half. You can't do that against Russell Wilson. Like, They're too good, and you can't do that against the Seattle defense. And it was overall really frustrating for me to watch as a fan, just because you had some pretty high expectations and you thought that the Colts could compete, and it just didn't seem like they did.
Let's hit on the lone positive from this game, Steve, and then we'll dive into everything that went wrong for the Colts. But I'd be remiss not to bring up Carson Wentz, because he looked actually really good in the season opener for this Colts team. He was 25 of 38. For 2 touchdowns and 0 interceptions. He was sacked 3 times, but incredibly enough, Steven, he was still making plays with no run game. The Colts averaged only about 3 yards per carry. John Taylor was at 3.3 on 17 carries. The weapons weren't getting open as much consistently. And as we mentioned, the offensive line was just atrocious after that first possession. He got hit 16 times in this game, 15 on the first 40 dropbacks for Carson Wentz for the last possession. With all that going wrong, Carson Wentz still making plays late in this game and keeping him afloat throughout the first and early second half of this one, Steven. I think Wentz, for everything we put into that perspective there, had a really, really good game. Football season is back. Let's make the most of it with a better way to create your custom pool at runyourpool.com, the premier sports pool hosting service. Run Your Pool makes it ridiculously easy to run a football pool with friends, family, or office mates. They offer dozens of formats, including Survivor, Pick'em, Squares, Margin, Confidence Pools, 33, and more. Run Your Pool hosts formats for NFL and college football, with week one games, full season playoffs, or the Super Bowl. Unlike other fantasy sports platforms, Run Your Pool has options and settings to make it your own. You can even brand your pool for local businesses, bars, and restaurants. Reconnect with friends and join their 2 million football fans to make every game action-packed this season. Check them out today and get $10 off at runyourpool.com/lockedon, or use our promo code LOCKEDON at checkout. Anywhere, everywhere in the world, Run Your Pool helps friends and colleagues compete. The NFL season starts September 9th. Start today at runyourpool.com/lockedon and have your pool up and running in minutes. Runyourpool.com/lockedon.
Yeah, I was pleasantly surprised with Carson Wentz and how he played. I guess not surprised. This is the Carson Wentz that I kind of expected, in that he didn't take a lot of risks. This was a really interestingly called game by Frank Reich. He didn't put Carson Wentz in a lot of bad situations. It's just in terms of where he was throwing the ball. And he made some just incredible throws, too. Like, that's what people may not understand, is how good some of the throws that he made was. And what really got me was how bad the offensive line played. Like, Julian Davenport, he had, like, 3 consecutive drives that were just crushed because he gave up a huge sack. And that the play calling, they were just letting him go one-on-one with the defensive ends, and they were just beating them constantly. And it's what we saw in preseason. And so I don't know what they were thinking, not having somebody else or not keeping a back end to for pass protection, not having a tight end over there to chip. I was kind of flummoxed with how the offensive play calling was for the entire game.
Yeah, let's hit on that real quick, because I tweeted this during the game on Locked On Colts, and looking back on it, I don't think it would have mattered because they scored that touchdown late. But if the Colts, let's say, it had those points on the board, they had four possessions today inside the Seahawks 30-yard line before that second-to-last possession where they scored a touchdown. So the first four possessions, they went inside a 30-yard line. They only came up with 10 points. They went for it twice on fourth down. I don't know if I like the play calls on that or not, but a lot of that was due to the offensive line just looking atrocious, and Braden Smith got bullied on that one fourth and one play where it would have helped out a lot if they would have converted, and that led to a Carson Wentz sack. What was your thoughts on Frank Reich's play calling today, Steven? Did you like what you saw, and would you have taken the points in the situations where if everything would have went right for the Colts, it would have only been down 5 points before that Seahawks drive went down and scored a touchdown?
I didn't like Frank Reich's play calling. I thought he, yes, the you galaxy-brained it. He, like, way overthought everything, in my opinion. It just felt like he was trying to be too cute with the play calling. When you've got an offensive line that can run the ball pretty well and you were doing some pretty decent damage with your running backs and you were making headway with the short game, it's just – I felt like they should have gone for it probably on that first drive where they were the 3-yard line, Seattle 3-yard line, because you go for it, at the very least you pick up a yard or two on it, or at the worst you pick up a yard or two, and then at best you score four extra points. I mean, shoot, four extra points, you're sitting here at 20 to 28, like you got a chance to tie the game. Realistically, at that point, you don't go for two, and you're probably looking here at 28-21 and still got a shot. But, you know, they didn't do it. They went for it on fourth down rather than taking field goals, which there's a part of me that understands being aggressive in some of those situations. But after that fumble that Seattle had and the Colts got that opportunity, I probably would have taken the points there. Because at that point in the game, you're still 3 minutes left. 3 minutes left in the game, right there. I just feel like you could have, or not 3 minutes left in the game, but you're still in the middle part of the fourth quarter. So you've still got plenty of time. I would have taken the field goal there. I just feel like they should have taking the points there, because it puts you within one score. It puts you at 8 points if you did that. And then, I mean, shoot, you take the field goal again there instead of, you know, like, you could have put yourself down five and needing to score to take the lead versus having yourself down 11 during that entire time. It went backwards to how I thought Frank Reich would do it, honestly. Like, I thought that on a couple of those plays, like the fourth and three on that first drive, that he would go for it. And I thought on the times that in the second half, down by 11, I thought he would kick the field goal to take the points at that point, to put yourself, make it a one-score game. And so I was just kind of like everybody else. I'm going, what are you doing? Why are you making these play calls? Other times where, you know, under 3 minutes and they're down three scores and running between the tackles. Or, like, does that just show that Frank Reich and Marcus Brady had no faith in the offensive line to protect Carson Wentz? Because that's what it seemed like.
Yeah, it was a super kind of confusing day for Frank Reich. I would have taken the points in those situations. I know if it would have worked out one way or the other, the Colts would have been better in the end, but I think just taking the automatic points, especially when you're down trailing a Seahawks team that was kind of getting stymied a little bit in the third quarter by the Colts defense, has kind of settled down a little bit. But let's talk about that defense for a second, Steven, because it was a rough first half for them. They allowed 21 points. Russell Wilson had, I believe, two incompletions and three touchdowns at halftime. Overall, at the end of the game, Wilson was 18 of 23 for 254 yards and four touchdowns. So four touchdowns, only five incomplete passes. Just a really rough game for this defense. They were betting an awful lot, Steven, on the Colts defensive line. Quiddy Pay, DeForest Buckner, Tyquan Lewis, those guys up front to make consistent pressure. They got it at some points, but whether it be the linebackers or the defensive backs, Russell Wilson and those playmakers for the Seahawks were having whatever they wanted to do against that back seven.
Yeah, it was the Colts defense was really confusing. And I was kind of frustrated with the play calling in it because it just seemed like it didn't make a lot of sense to me, to be honest, or with like the rotation of guys that played. So like Al-Kadeem Muhammad was the starter. And I even, sent this tweet out when they announced the starting roster. I was like, the only one I don't agree with right now is AQM, because throughout training camp, throughout the preseason, he's shown nothing that would separate him above Lewis, Banigou, Ture at that point, or Pay. So I feel like he was maybe the fifth or sixth defensive end in this group, and he got the starting nod. And then he kept playing today. And there were literally three separate drives that if he makes the tackle, then the drive stops. And I think all three touchdown drives that Seattle had in the first half were AQM had a shot at the guy, a clean shot. Like not blocked. He had a clean shot, was able to put some pressure on him. He had clean pressure on the running back, clean break, no block, not blocked at all, made a contact with the running back, and then just let him go. And there were like three separate drives where that happened, and it just killed it. Like there are times where he dove in and got swallowed up and let the contain go. And he just kept making mistake after mistake. So I was just kind of blown away that they didn't put in Banigou, they didn't put in Lewis and give those guys a shot in that situation opposite Quiddy Pay, because AQM wasn't doing it and he was consistently not doing it. And then in the first half, the linebackers looked lost. Like Darius Leonard looked lost. He made a tackle like midway through the second quarter. And I was like, was that Darius Leonard's first play of the game? Because I haven't seen him make a tackle yet. And then he obviously made a big play in the third, fourth quarter there with that fumble. But prior to that, he just looked like he was a step slow. And so whether that was because he didn't get any preseason snaps, or he's still trying to, catch up to the speed of the game, I don't know. It just, the defense looked kind of miffed. It stinks because on both of Russell Wilson's bomb, like long passes, it was because they had no pressure from the defensive ends. It was really frustrating. I didn't understand some of the blitz calls that they decided to dial up. They dialed up blitzes into the strong side of the package for Seattle. So it's, you're running into places where there are guys to block you. And that's kind of not the point of blitzing. And so I was just, again, the play calling across the board was really frustrating.
Last few points here, Steven, before we close up the show. We're going to be doing quick recaps here every Sunday after the Colts games. But just one point here on the rushing attack, because it seems like after the Colts did what they did on the first drive, establishing Jonathan Taylor, Nyheim Hines is a really big feature piece of their offense in the first drive as well. The running game just died off completely. They didn't do anything at all pretty much after that possession. What was your thoughts on the rushing attack today, where a lot was in the offensive line? They really just had an all-around bad game outside of Quentin Nelson. But I really believe that maybe it's a forecast of what's to come, Steven, but if the Colts can't establish the run on some of these teams, especially a Seattle defense that was pretty inconsistent last year, it might be a long, long season if you can't establish the run with how key of a piece Jonathan Taylor is to this offense. Because he had 23 touches today in this offense, even when they're trailing by 12 points and losing 28-16. It's obvious Taylor's going to be the number one piece of this offense. He needs to get established more often and more consistent. And if Taylor can't get going, it's going to be a long day for this Colts offense. What's your thoughts on the rushing attack today?
Yeah, my thoughts are the offensive line has got to gel together. I don't know whether it was a lack of practice reps because guys were suspended because of COVID or because of injuries, and they weren't able to see the speed and they were just overwhelmed. Braden Smith on that huge fourth down sack or fourth down quarterback hit of Carson Wentz got just absolutely pancaked by a guy. Looked like he was totally taken aback by this rush, and it just was wild because it's not something that you expect. And then you've got, they've got to figure out how to establish the run. Like, because without that, like Carson Wentz has showed today that he's still got it. You know, he made some really good plays. He moved around in the pocket. He made some great throws. Like, again, I go back and tell you there are certain throws, like the touchdown pass to Pascal. If you watch, or the first touchdown pass to Pascal, if you watch that play, Carson Wentz is in the throwing motion, letting that ball go before Pascal even makes his break on that pass. So it's before he's even turned around, knows where he knows where Pascal's going to be. And that's a lot of confidence and something that you never saw with, like, for example, Jacoby Brissett there as a Colts quarterback. And that's why we always harped on Jacoby Brissett and lack of anticipation. Carson Wentz has that. And so if you can give Carson Wentz some time, I think that he can go back to what he was in 2017, 2019, because he was a really high quality starter. And if they can give him some time with the offensive line and fix whatever that issue is, and then get their running game at least started, I think that they've got a real opportunity. Now, I was on the Seahawks, the field goals podcast for Seattle this past week, and they talked about how good the defensive line was for the Seahawks and how they really invested a lot of capital in that defensive line. So it's not super surprising to me that they played well today, at least the defensive line for Seattle. And I was just more shocked the Colts line played as poorly as they did, because I thought it would be at least a stalemate. And the Colts offensive line from maybe Quentin Nelson and Ryan Kelly were the only ones that didn't have major issues. But Julian Davenport was a liability. Braden Smith had a couple issues with speed rushers, which has always kind of been his problem. Mark Lewinsky did okay on a couple of the replays that they showed. You saw him pulling and just missing the hole, which was kind of frustrating. Or maybe the running back decided to go a different direction and not follow Lewinsky through it. But it looked like Lewinsky was like, wait, where am I? Like, he put up his hands. Like, I'm looking for something that's not here. The offensive line has to get better. Like, plain and simple, the Colts aren't going to do much, because if they can't run the ball and they can't protect Carson Wentz, the season's not going to go well. I know that this is a major overreaction right now, but I do think that they'll get these things fixed. And in the long run, the Colts will be fine. You have to look at this as a whole picture. The Titans got crushed today by the Arizona Cardinals. And then you have currently in first place in the AFC South is the Tyrod Taylor-led Houston Texans, because they beat the Jacksonville Jaguars. So it's not like things are slipping away. The Colts didn't lose any ground. And Seattle was always going to be a tough game, where it was kind of a 50-50 coin toss on whether you thought they'd have an opportunity to win it or not. So I'm not surprised that they lost. I'm disappointed in the way that they lost.
Last point here, wrapping things up, Stephen, 28-16 final score. The Colts now have lost their 8th straight season opener. They dropped to 0-1. Tough task next week against the Rams at home. But even after that, you play the Titans on the road. You play the Ravens, the Dolphins. What's your expectations now after this 0-1 start for the Colts? And it's not going to get any easier next week. If this offensive line play continues, Stephen, against Aaron Donald, he's going to have his way. They'll move him across the defensive line, avoid a matchup with Quentin Nelson. He could just take whoever else at will. What's your expectations now heading into week 2 and beyond for this Colts team, where it seems like now we kind of have like a good idea of this team, but we're still missing some key pieces like Eric Fisher and stuff out there too?
Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on their phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all the entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion, and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. They have 9 delicious flavors, plus the occasional limited time flavor as well. When you talk to a Built Bar fan, they're definitely passionate about their favorites. So there's something for everyone over on Built Bar. Most of the flavors have 17 grams of protein and only 4 grams of sugar, all within 130 calories. It's a great tasting snack to tide you over throughout the day. Order today and get whatever flavors you like at Built Bars and go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your first order. Again, use promo code LOCKED15, LOCKED15, for 15% off at BuiltBar.com.
Yeah, I actually am, even though we just talked for like 20 minutes and I'm pretty negative about it all, I'm actually pretty hopeful for what they've got going forward. It seems like the Colts are going to be okay at quarterback, which was always the big question. And I think that Eric Fisher coming back, hopefully next week, is going to really help resolve a lot of that offensive line issue. So I think they really do have a realistic opportunity of going 3-2. I think the Titans are way worse than I thought they'd be. And I didn't think that they would be good. Go listen to any of the podcasts where we talk about the divisional rivals. I have never been high on the Titans because I just don't think they did enough on defense. And they lost their offensive coordinator, lost a lot of weapons on offense. And that kind of played out today. Against the Cardinals is they got absolutely destroyed on defense because they lost it. They didn't have a good offense. I wasn't shocked by how the Titans played. And so when you look at the Colts as a whole and you look at the rest of the season, your ultimate goal right now is to win the division. And the Colts are one game behind the Houston Texans in the division, and you know that that's not going to hold. So the Colts are still pretty even with the Titans. They didn't lose anything here. I think that they've got an opportunity. I'd be interested to see how the Rams play later tonight, and then see, you know, the Titans. I'm not afraid of in week 3. And then you've got the Ravens, who have lost like their entire running back room and their top corner for the season. That was the big issue that the Colts had with the Ravens before, is their secondary was so good, along with their pass rush. And then you got the Miami Dolphins. So I don't think any of these teams necessarily scare me. So the Colts really do have an opportunity to end this first 5-game stretch, which is the toughest stretch of their season by far, I think. I think they can win it 3 out of 5 games, or, you know, go 3-1 over the next 4 games. So I'm hopeful for the rest of the season. I think that these things will get hammered out. And as everybody starts to get more feel for the game and how it's played, I think that they're going to come around.
Steven, as always, enjoy having you on here on the podcast. Imagine we'll have you on later this week to help preview the Rams game. But in the meantime, go ahead and follow Steven on Twitter if you're not already at Nice Read Steve, and go listen to his podcast as well over on Stampede Blue. Steven, appreciate the time today.
Thanks, Evan. Have a great one.